Hello, everyone, and welcome to our podcast, From Pathogen to Infectious Disease Diagnosis, where we bring the connection between the lab and the clinic together to discuss how the latest generation of testing can help identify pathogens to get a diagnosis and harnessing potential partnerships with lab professionals and infectious disease providers. And our latest from our podcast today, we're extremely excited to be rejoined by bioMérieux Chief Medical Officer Chuck Cooper, MD. And we're going to talk about one of my favorite topics, which is viral pathogens. Dr. Cooper, a lot in the news lately regarding Ebola and other diseases like hantavirus, and especially we know that there's an ongoing and potentially dangerous outbreak in the Democratic Republic of Congo in Africa. Can you talk a little bit about the challenge of identifying viruses like Ebola?
Yeah, I think it's a really good question, very relevant. I think one of the things that's important to understand is that even though the four different strains of Ebola that cause Ebola disease cause a very similar clinical syndrome, even though that's the case, genetically, these strains of Ebola are actually very different. And they're different enough that vaccines and therapeutics and even diagnostics that are developed for one strain don't necessarily or typically work for the other strains. And that's essentially what's happening right now. You have a situation where you have a reemergence of a strain of Ebola that's not that common, Bundibugyo, and the current existing vaccines and therapeutics and diagnostics don't actually work for this new strain. So it really creates a lot of challenges for the public health response effort.
Yeah, I know. I was thinking about this when we decided to bring you on to discuss this topic. I remember, I think it was the early 90s when I first went to work for the Department of Health in Austin at the Texas Department of Health. And one of the first things I read was The Hot Zone from Richard Preston. And you might remember that kind of early incursion of the Ebola on Reston strain, which turned out to not be, thankfully, a danger to humans. But from that point, I think Ebola, for me and probably many virologists, kind of grabbed our attention because it is, as you know, so dangerous through bloodborne transmission and high mortality rates. So with that in mind, we certainly know that being able to differentiate as laboratorians and as physicians viruses within a family of viruses can be very difficult. And you think about Ebola and how significant that identification is for treatment and surveillance. Can you offer some insights into the importance of a well-known issue among laboratorians of high specificity to avoid false positives in identifying that correct strain or species of virus?
Yeah, I think because particularly, for example, in the current outbreak situation, because they don't have access to effective vaccines and therapeutics, they're having to rely really more on standard public health measures like contact tracing, quarantine, safe burial practices. And of course, all of these sorts of interventions really are heavily reliant on the ability to diagnose who has the infection or who has been exposed. If you can't actually figure that out because you either don't have the diagnostics or the diagnostics don't detect the particular strain is involved, well, then you're really in a lot of difficult trouble. And then the other thing that's important to understand is that in that part of the world, there are a lot of different causes of fever. And in early Ebola disease presents with fever, muscle aches, chills. Well, these are the same symptoms that are caused by multiple other infections in that part of the world. So if you don't have the ability to understand what's happening with an individual patient, whether they actually have Ebola or malaria or something else, then it becomes very difficult to institute the types of public health interventions that are necessary, like contact tracing and quarantine. And so this is part of the reason why it's just so critical to have diagnostics that are accurate and available to be able to institute these sorts of public health measures.
Yeah, I totally agree. I know that you would agree that, you know, when you think about these types of places and more, even in the U.S., right, we're seeing more and more geographic kind of expansion of even things that are vector borne. So malaria, yellow fever, West Nile, dengue, and that all show those types of early symptoms with respect to fever and muscle aches and things like that. So certainly when you're dealing with a deadly virus like Ebola, you need to know as soon as possible what that issue is going to be. So let's talk a little bit about maybe more in your wheelhouse with respect to providing an overview of what the biofire defense is and how it helps in the fight against infectious diseases in general.
So BioFire Defense is a unique type of organization. It's a contract research development and manufacturing organization. It's also an affiliate of the diagnostics company bioMérieux. And so the mission that BioFire Defense has, it relates to its unique relationship with the U.S. government. BioFire Defense has multiple contracts with the U.S. government, and it has the mission of developing specialized diagnostic applications for the US military and for US public health. And this allows BioFire Defense to focus on the development of diagnostics that you wouldn't ordinarily see. And this is an example of one. The global fever, the BioFire Global Fever Special Pathogens Panel was developed as a result of this relationship with the US government. And it was also the intent that that assay would also be made available for broader public health use, which is the way it's being used now.
Yeah, I know. When I think about this is, a really important topic when I think about just in general public health, right? I think most people that aren't in the trenches like we are might not realize that these types of pathogens and others, including influenza and on and on and on down the list, are probably our most dangerous enemy when we think about our military forces and our healthcare forces that we put into place in places like Africa or so forth, that we need to understand that diagnostics around it. A little bit more with that idea. Can you talk a little bit about the BioFever Global Fever Special Pathogens Panel, kind of how that works and how long it takes to develop results and how well it works in identifying this rare strain of Ebola?
Sure. Yeah, and you mentioned the topic of accuracy and how critically important it is. And so this test is actually FDA cleared. So the performance is very, very good. It's a molecular PCR panel test. And so what that means is it's very sensitive. It's a PCR test, but it also is a panel test, so it can detect multiple pathogens all in the same test. And so just for example, this test at the same time will detect all strains of Ebola that cause human disease, as well as a long list of other pathogens like dengue and malaria, Marburg virus, multiple other things. It has a very, sort of, it has a 2-minute hands-on time, and it's fully automated with regard to amplification, sample prep, reporting, all this. And so it's easy to utilize. And then the other thing that I think is really interesting to know is that very intentionally, the reagents were designed to be freeze-dried. So
Right.
that means they don't have to be refrigerated or frozen. And so they're able to withstand and be stable at room temperature, which makes it easier to deploy in settings like where you see the current outbreak. The sample type is blood, and the results are available in, like, I think 50 minutes, somewhere around 50 minutes. So you get a list of tests from a number of different pathogens that can all cause fever and muscle aches within 50 minutes.
That is fantastic. Again, just a reminder for our audience, if you haven't thought about this, when you think about COVID and all the headaches we had with SARS-CoV-2, one of the early issues was cold chain supply chain. So I love the idea of freeze-dried reagents, because when you go into these types of spaces where not only is it a challenge because of the environment, but you may have trouble with refrigeration and electricity and so forth. So if there's any way that you can get these types of platforms on the ground to help in these big outbreaks, that can be life-saving for hundreds of people. So congratulations on on that piece. That's really cool that it's got the freeze-dried reagents. What other, can you talk about the other specific genera of viruses or virus species that this particular special fevers pathogens panel has been validated for? You mentioned a few in there. Do you have an idea of kind of the broad spectrum there?
Sure. And so just to give you an idea, the test is actually validated to detect a group of bacteria, viruses, and protozoa. So it can detect a
Perfect.
large number across these different organism types. And so if you include the different Ebola strains as well as some different malaria species, just to give you an idea, without necessarily listing them all, the assay actually can detect 19 different pathogens.
Wow,
So just
fantastic.
as an example, yeah, it's kind of it's really pretty impressive number all at once within 50 minutes. And so it really gives you a chance to understand very quickly, what's happening with the patient who's presenting with fever, in that part of the world in particular. And so, just as an example, the types of bacteria that it detects include anthrax, plague, leptospirosis, tularemia, and viruses. It detects things like, of course, Ebola, we've been talking about, but as well as things like Marburg virus, dengue, chikungunya, West Nile, Lassa, several other viruses as well. And for protozoa, it can detect leishmania as well as malaria. So it really can cover a lot of ground and can very quickly help healthcare providers understand what they're dealing with when they're trying to manage a patient who has a fever in that part of the world.
That's fantastic. I mean, again, for our audience, for someone that's come from 30 years of working in this field, whenever you can utilize, a way to use a panel for these types of viruses and others, I know BioFire has some other types of panels. These are so critically important when you're trying to distinguish and identify between specific syndromes of infections and things. Because as you mentioned, for a physician, the decision to think about an antiprotozoal or an antiviral or an antibiotic or a vaccine for future infections is really critical to understand that diagnostic. So that's awesome. So can you talk a little bit about, as we kind of wrap this up, around the idea of how the company is deploying this technology to these areas that are impacted by this outbreak and maybe future outbreaks?
Yeah, so bioMérieux and BioFire Defense are working closely together to make sure that we make this test available where it's needed most in that part of the world where they're having this very significant public health crisis. And to do that, we're working really closely with the ministries of health of Rwanda, Uganda, and the Democratic Republic of Congo, as well as multiple NGOs that operate in that region. And the goal really is to find ways to move the tests and the test systems into the affected areas where they're needed most. And so we've also worked on delivering training materials to all three of these countries, as well as the test kits and the systems. And we're helping them set up the training programs to help train the personnel on how to use the systems. Another thing that just happened just a few days ago on Wednesday, there was actually an event in Rwanda where we had a ceremony where we delivered tests and test kits to support training, test kits as well as support training materials and also personnel to help support the training. So we're really working hard to try to find ways to make sure that this testing capability is available in that part of the world where they're having such a huge crisis right now.
Right. What a wonderful effort, right? To just for global public health. I mean, really, that really excites me. And this is a little off the question list, but and maybe you can't talk about it. But is it something that your company and the government and others are kind of also thinking about future locations, or is that not really being done yet?
You mean in terms of deployment of this particular
Yeah.
test?
So you're kind of prepared beforehand. Is that something that's being looked at?
Well, we have a government and public policy department at bioMérieux, and they are frequently in touch with and engaged with the ministries of health of countries all around the world, including these sorts of areas in particular, where they have these kinds of challenges. By having those relationships established, it makes it a lot easier to actually execute and start to implement distribution and make these sorts of tests available when it happens that they're needed. And so I think that's our primary mechanism is to really have these kinds of relationships already established so that if something happens, we can jump in and help. So.
Yeah, perfect. That's exciting because, global public health, One Health, those relationships, people are so critical to these types of resources. And I really applaud bioMérieux and BioFire for kind of thinking proactively in this way, because as we continue to move across this time frame, I mean, I think we see every day hantavirus, Ebola, dengue. I mean, every time you turn around, influenza popping up in the military again. Every time you turn around, there's some issue going on where we need really strong diagnostics that confirm exactly what's happening on the ground. Without it, right, we're flying blind. So it's
Totally.
really a critical part of healthcare that people, I think, sometimes don't think about, the diagnosis of what's actually going on, not just seeing a patient that's ill, but what's causing that illness.
Totally.
So, any final thoughts regarding anything that we may have missed today?
No, I think it was a great discussion. I think given what's happening, in that part of the world right now, I think there's every reason to believe this is going to be a challenge, and it's going to be quite a fight from a public health perspective to try to get this under control. And I hope this remains in sort of the view of the public so that people understand that really this requires a lot of attention to really successfully defeat this outbreak. And so hopefully it doesn't recede into the background because it is really an incredible crisis.
I fully agree, and we could talk about that probably for another 30 minutes. I mean, there's such a need for awareness in this space because it impacts thousands of people. And as we know right now in that outbreak, it's probably worse than it looks, than it's being reported, because there's so many people that haven't, been confirmed, or they're not showing up to healthcare for different issues. So when you look in those types of countries, they really need that expertise and that support to get these things under control. So I really do applaud what you're doing with this particular platform and with your connections through the other agencies.
Thank you very much.
You bet. So thank you so much, Dr. Cooper, for talking with us today about this very critical, important public health topic that dives into diagnostics. And thank you to our audience out there for joining us today. And until next time, I'm signing off for Contagion Live and for myself, Rodney Rohde, and we'll see you next time.